Well, good morning. I'd like to thank the worship team for leading us in a time of praise and worship and coming before the Father and honoring Him this morning, because that is our sole purpose in life, is to bring honor and glory to the Father, and it is a blessing to be able to do that. We are, as we stand here today, on the threshold of a new year. I think it's important that we take some time at any time like this is to reflect on the past and also look into the future. And for many of us, as we look back and you reflect on what happened in the past year, and maybe some of those things you're hoping don't happen in the coming year, and maybe you're looking back and you're saying, wow, I could experience more of that in my life, and that kind of thing. So I believe, and I'm going to be looking at Psalms 23 again this morning, as we consider the psalm there, as David wrote from the perspective of a sheep under the Good Shepherd's care, and what he saw and what he experienced and what it looked like from the perspective of a sheep under the Good Shepherd's care. And we'll be focusing primarily on verse 6, and we'll get to that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I thought about how that this psalm, as he talks about these things in this here chapter, in verse 6, he sums it up with looking forward. He sums it up with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I thought about how important it is for us to have the purpose and the goal before us. When we live life, when we experience life, when we go through life, and we experience all the things that life has to bring our way and to offer us, it's so important that we are looking forward to the goal. It doesn't hurt to look back and see what happened and learn from it and that kind of thing, but very important this morning. I thought about how I heard one time years ago, back when I was young, I heard how that a farmer was trying to get a straight furrow for his first pass through the field, to get a straight row, because that was important, so it wasn't all cattywampus. And he learned to hang his handkerchief on a tree at the end of the field, where he would line up with that handkerchief, and he went straight to the handkerchief. And so I tried that in different aspects of my life, in farming, and the garden, and in excavating, to find a focal point and to go for that. And when you get to the end and look back, you had a nice straight row. And I think for all of us here this morning, it's our heart's desire that when we come to the end of life, when we come to the place of accountability, that we can look back and see a nice straight row. That's our heart's desire. But for today, as we are here, as we are among the living, I believe it's important that we have the goal in mind, that we have it fixed before us, that our eyes are set on it, that when all these things happen around us, we know without a shadow of a doubt that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And we'll look at that. So let's read Psalms 23 again, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And this is the conclusion that David comes to in verse 6. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. As he looked at those things, as he as he considered the goodness of the Good Shepherd. And I believe that for all of us this morning, it is important that we keep our heart and our mind fixed on the Good Shepherd, the one who will. He is the Lord in verse 1. And he is my shepherd. I shall not want any other shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I know many people interpret that to say that you're going to have everything you need. And yes, I believe that in life, there are, spiritually, we have all that we need to walk through life. But we cannot say with confidence that every person in the world who is a believer in Jesus Christ has everything that they want. So I believe it's truer in that particular verse. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I will not want to wander outside of his green pastures. He makes me to lie down. He provides the green pastures and the still waters. That's what he does. He provides it. The green pastures and the still water for my soul. If you're here this morning and you are struggling with a troubled spirit, God is offering to you this morning green pastures and still waters to restore your soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is in the paths of righteousness, what for? For his name's sake, that he might be glorified. He is there in the valley of the shadow of death. He is there. He's at the table with me in the presence of my enemies. He is there at the table. He wants to prepare for you and me a table in the presence of our enemies. He doesn't remove enemies, but he wants to prepare the table where he can sit. And he wants to communicate. Don't get distracted with the enemy around, but he wants to sit at a table with you in the presence of your enemies and communicate with you. And he wants to communicate with you the assurance that he is leading you on this path and that the still waters and the green pastures are available for your soul. And I've skipped, if you noticed, the last time I preached on him restoring our souls and leading us in the paths of righteousness. I skipped 4 and 5 because it was not too long ago that I did sermons on those particular subjects. The valley of the shadow of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and also in sitting a table before us in the presence of our enemies, which I did not too long ago. So today, I would like us to look at verse 6, and we'll take some time to look at what is it that the psalmist saw and what he is saying from the perspective of a sheep, which we are. And I understand this morning the awesome responsibility, the sobering responsibility for me to care for God's sheep, which I am as well. And I recognize this morning that the shepherd's heart, the good shepherd, the Lord's heart for you is so far above what I can even ever begin to imagine or experience. And I want to communicate that this morning, that the good shepherd's heart for you is that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Have you experienced God's goodness and mercy in 2025? As you reflect on the past year, as you reflect on the things that happened to you, did you experience God's goodness and mercy this past year? Amen. Amen. We're here. We're here. We have food and clothing. The Bible says it, with that we're supposed to be content. And we have a lot more than that. And his mercy. In the past year, there are times that I have failed. And I'm guessing that for all of us here this morning, you can probably reflect on a time that you failed. Guess what? God's mercy was there to forgive and to restore. So looking back on 2025, I believe that we can all declare that God's mercy, that God's goodness and his mercy were available to us. And I believe without a doubt in my heart or mind that it will be there in 2026. You see, it's a beautiful thing. God doesn't have a bad day. He doesn't have a bad day where his goodness or his mercy he lays aside because he's grumpy or grouchy that day. I must admit, yesterday I had a dark day, and I find it amusing. I was studying to preach this sermon. I'm supposed to stand up here and talk about the goodness and the mercy of God, and I failed to tap into it yesterday. I did. So there are days that we have that are bad days, but you know what? God's mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. It doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. His mercies are new every morning. What are God's goodness and mercy? And we'll look at that a little bit later on. Is God's goodness only demonstrated when we experience good? Is God's goodness only demonstrated when everything is going well for us? Or is God's goodness also there when things are not what we think they should be? The Bible says that all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord, right? So we have to believe that even when things don't look the way we think they should look, then God's goodness is still there. His mercy is still there. And I believe this is important, that we live like this, that we see our Heavenly Father in this light. Because we will be destroyed if we don't. Is God's mercy received only when we're in good times? No. His mercy is there even when it's bad. Are you going into 2026 with the confidence that surely, as the writer said, surely his goodness, God's goodness and mercy will follow you? Are you going there with that confidence? And I compared some of this statement in a couple of different translations, and it's amusing, interesting, the different definitions that are given for the word surely. One of them is indeed, or only, or surely, certainly, doubtless. Is that you this morning? Is that you without a shadow of a doubt that surely the goodness and the mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life, that you will go into the future knowing that the goodness and mercy of God is going to be there? He will pursue you, surely, goodness and mercy. All we need for the future is his uninterrupted presence and his continual touch in our lives. That's what we need for the future. And I want to talk a little bit about sheep again this morning, and I'm going to share some from the book that I shared, that I read, A Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23 by Philip Keller, and this is where some of these thoughts come from that I'll be sharing with you here. The sheep of the shepherd know of a surety, no matter what comes, at least and always, he can be perfectly sure that goodness and mercy will be in the picture. Let me say that again. The sheep of the shepherd know of a surety, no matter what comes, at least and always, he can be perfectly sure that goodness and mercy will be in the picture, no matter what comes. This is a bold statement and an exclamation of confidence that is written and spoken. And I wonder how many Christians actually feel this way about Christ. How many Christians actually feel this way about Christ? You see, of course, it's very simple to speak this way or to think this way or to feel this way when everything is going good, when my health is excellent, when my income is flourishing, when my family is doing well, my friends are fond of me. It's not hard to say, surely goodness and mercy and will follow me all the days of my life. But what about when one's body breaks down? What about when you get that diagnosis that you have cancer? Is God still good? Does His goodness and mercy still apply in that situation when you're faced with that? Or what about when you watch a partner die painfully? Jim, is God's goodness and mercy still there? In the long hours of watching someone suffer incredibly, is God's goodness and His mercy still there? Are you able to say without a doubt, yes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? Are you able to say it? Are you able to in that time? What is my reaction when my job folds up or I get fired or I lose a job, there's no more work for me? What is my reaction? Is it surely goodness and mercy? How do I react? What if my children aren't making it in school? They can't make their grades. They're failing. What if my children start hanging out with a bad crowd? Maybe some of you are here this morning and you've experienced that. Can you say, surely, goodness and mercy? What if your friends, without grounds for a good cause, just leave you and turn against you? Are you able to say, surely, goodness and mercy? Are you able to? See, these are the times. This is a time when this verse, really, the rubber meets the road. It's not when everything is good, when the bank account is good, the stock market is good, your health is good, and your family is good. But what happens when it really comes to the test of a person's confidence in the care of Christ, the Good Shepherd? That happens when you're tested. Can I honestly declare, surely, 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 goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life? With my limited, finite understanding as a human being, we as human beings are tempted at times to bolt from the pastor. We get this sick idea that we can do it on our own. When the shepherd is saying, stay with me, stay with me. I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will sit with you at a table in the presence of your enemies. Don't run and try and do it on your own, because you cannot. When you're faced with life's challenges that just don't make sense, the Father wants to make sense of it for you. And I'm going to look at these different parts of this here verse, and I'm going to start by looking at surely. Surely. It isn't just a hopeful wish. It's a declaration of absolute confidence based on the shepherd and his good care. Surely, without a shadow of a doubt, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This certainty, this confidence, this surely is what should anchor our faith in the Father. Anchor our faith in Him. is this surely. Do you believe that? Can you say it this morning? Surely, surely, surely. Because that is where our faith is anchored, in believing without a doubt. See, this is what we need to combat the doubts that come along in life. We expect trouble. We expect misfortune to follow us. But the psalmist assures us that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. God's actions, the shepherd's actions towards his sheep, are always good. They're always good. They may not feel that way this morning. It may not feel that way now, but they are always good. And then it goes on, it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I want to look at that idea of following. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That doesn't mean that God is back there somewhere following behind us. The definition of following is to chase or to pursue, to follow after, to not let you get away. God's goodness and mercy will not let you get away. He will pursue you. He will follow you. He will go after you. He is with you. He is there, and he is wanting to assure you of his goodness and his mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He is actively pursuing it. So what about his goodness? What is goodness? The Hebrew word is tov, which refers to all things beneficial, provision, prosperity, well-being. It is God's providing for our needs. In verse 1, he says there that he does provide. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He restores our soul. He leads us. He gives these things. And he also gives the good things of life that we have to enjoy. Food, clothing, his goodness. He is the provider. His mercy, and the Hebrew for that is hesed, refers to God's covenantal, steadfast love, kindness, and forgiveness. He keeps us in relationship with him. His mercy is there. When we fail, his mercy is there to extend forgiveness to us. When we repent, when we fail, he is actively pursuing. And then it goes on and says, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just some of them. Not just the good days, but all the days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days. In time of sorrow, joy and sorrow. In green pastures, in the valley of the shadow of death. Without exception, from the moment of salvation until our final breath, every single day is covered by this promise. It's covered. No day is excluded from God's reach or removed from his jurisdiction. This truth should change our perspective every morning when we rise up, to recognize and know that we are being chased by God, and it should change who we are. It should change who we are. And that's, I think, the goal. As I look at this here this morning, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the end goal. But looking at the goodness and the mercy of God and understanding and recognizing God's interaction in our lives, his goodness and his mercy, as we look at that, what should be the outcome? What should be the outcome of walking, understanding, and the goodness and the mercy of God, and he's leading us in the path of righteousness, and beside the still waters, in the valley of shadow of death, he's there for us. What should that produce out of us? And I think this is a good point where in the book, I'm going to read a couple of pages from the book here. So bear with me. This is the whole idea that it is under the management and of the Good Shepherd that goodness and mercy thrive. It is under the management of the Good Shepherd that goodness and mercy thrive, and therefore it will produce fruit. It will produce something that other people can look at, that other people can follow. And I'm going to read. It is worth reiterating at this point that the sheep can, under mismanagement, be the most destructive livestock. In short order, they can ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. But in bold contrast, they can, on the other hand, be the most beneficial of all livestock if properly managed. And I don't know if any of you have sheep here and can testify to this, but their manure is the best balanced of any produced by domestic livestock. When scattered effectively over the pastures, it proves an enormous benefit to the soil. The sheep's habit of seeking the highest rise of ground on which to rest ensures that the fertility from the rich lowland is redisposed on the less productive higher ground. No other livestock will consume as wide a variety of herbage. Sheep eat all sorts of weeds and other undesirable plants that might otherwise invade a field. For example, they love the buds and the tender tips of a Canada thistle, which, if it is not controlled, can quickly become a most noxious weed. In a few years, a flock of well-managed sheep will clean up and restore a piece of ravaged land as no other creature can do. In ancient literature, sheep were referred to as those of the golden hooves, simply because they were regarded and esteemed so highly for their beneficial effect on the land. And I just connected with that thought and how that it applies to us as God's people. As we are managed by the shepherd, there should be goodness and mercy coming out of our lives. There should be goodness and mercy that we are leaving a legacy. We are leaving behind us something that is good. When you look back on 2025 or you look back on your life, have you left a green pasture? Have you been beneficial? Has your life reflected the life of the Good Shepherd and left behind you something that you would be willing to go back to if you needed to? Or has it left something that other people would be able to benefit from? Or has your life left ruin? It's a question we need to wrestle with, because God has offered us the ability to walk with the assurance that surely goodness and mercy, and He is in our leading, He is in our guiding, He is the one that is making the way for us. And when that happens, there's good things that follow. Are you making a difference for the kingdom of God in a way that reflects the Good Shepherd? Are you making a difference for the kingdom of God in a way that reflects the Good Shepherd and leaving a pasture that can be followed? There are different things that we can do in life that reflect that. But I want to move on to the ending part of the verse here. It says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Does that bring joy to your heart this morning? That in the end of all this, you will dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, you hear the song, "I'm satisfied with just a cottage below and a little silver and a little gold and a cabin in the corner of glory land." That's another song, but you hear these things, and God is preparing for, He went to prepare a place for us, that when He has prepared that place, He will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we can be too. We are going to be in his house. We are going to be in the good shepherd's house. We are going to be in the Father's house. When you close your eyes and take that last breath, you are going to be in the Father's house. That's what it says. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not going to be some separate mansion for you somewhere, or a cabin or something else in the corner of Glory Land. You are going to be in the castle of the Almighty Living God. Hallelujah. Our Father, that's the goal. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house, in God's house, in his house with him. It was prophesied. Abraham heard about it. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was planned in Revelation. We hear of the city and the streets of gold and how beautiful it will be. The house of God is where we will dwell. If we are willing to be sheep who are led by the Father, if we are willing to be sheep who are led by the Good Shepherd, this is the goal. This is the purpose. Don't lose sight of it. When you go into 2026, don't lose sight of what the goal is. It is to live and to dwell in the house of the Father. Hallelujah. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That is where we are headed. And that's what the psalmist summed up as he looked back from the perspective of a sheep. Do you have a good father? Can I get an amen this morning? Do you have a good father? Hallelujah. We do. We have one who cares about us, one who will walk with us. We need to stop focusing on all that is bad and all that is happening around us, because he wants to sit at that table with you and with I and concur and encourage us. And he will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me close with this. I would like to close with the blessing from Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the plan. That's the purpose that God has for each and every one of us, if we are willing to tap into it. But we need to tap into it. We need to believe that he is who he says he is. And stop trying to do it on our own. Stop trying to do it on our own. He has promised, if you have failed, come to him. Don't run from him. Don't run from him. Come to him if you have failed. He's willing, he's wanting, he's full of mercy, and he's full of goodness, and he will restore the soul. That's the hope that we have going into 2026. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the plan, the purpose, the written word, your promises, Lord. We claim them this morning, that you have given to us, that we would, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in your house, Lord. I pray for that one here this morning that has lost hope. I pray that you would encourage, that you would embolden, that you would strengthen them. I pray for that one here this morning, Lord, that has walked through the valley of the shadow of death and darkness. I pray for the one, Lord, that has focused on the enemy and has lost sight of you sitting at the table. Lord, as only you can do, reach out your loving arms and put them around that person this morning and speak words of life and comfort to them. God, we know that we are in this place, in this world, and this is not our home. Lord, you've given us a purpose. You've given us a work to do. And we want to do it to your honor, to your glory, that you would be reflected, that the trail behind us, the pasture behind us, Lord, would be something that would reflect your goodness and your mercy. So to everyone that is here this morning, Father, I pray a blessing and an anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the choir to come and lead us in a closing song.